So, Erwith or Honey, and you're making out when the phone rings. You answer it, and the voice is,
"What are you doing with my daughter?"
You tell her girl, and she say,
"My dad is dead."
Then who was phone? Hello, and welcome to the internet's premier space for failed horror of all types. Here on The Spoops, we love to highlight and celebrate all of the things in the world that tried to be spooky, but just maybe missed the mark a little.
Now, you may be asking how best to listen to this, and that's definitely where we would say, check out our website. We post the stories that we want you to edit there. We interact with our fans there. It is definitely a really great place to come in, tune in, figure out more about us, and you can check that out at thespoopspod.com.
Though, if you're watching us on YouTube, go ahead and leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe tell me all about how beautiful you think my beard is, because I need your social approval.
My wife doesn't let me grow a beard.
What's that on your face?
Goatee.
Okay.
I don't get the side.
Vanity, thy name is compromise.
Yep. Hides the double chin. That's why I wanted it. Anyway, so no, please feel free to check out, comment, like, share. Before we dive into this, we do really want to talk about our viewer parties, or our listening parties, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. Reach out to us. If you have more than four people listening to a podcast, reach out to us. We'll record a personalized intro just for you, to go ahead and welcome your friends, family, your three other romantic partners, just anything that's going to go ahead and bring in the listening crowd.
Now, before we continue, it's important that we cite where we get our stuff from, and that comes from the Trollpasta Wiki, the Cryptid Wiki, and where did you pull this episode's conspiracy theory from?
From the truth. I pulled it straight from the truth. Oh. For reference, I pulled it from a podcast called This Paranormal Life, and from various other Googling and research, including the National Library of Congress.
Oh.
The truth.
The truth.
The way.
The lie. Okay. Well, before we get too sidelined, let's go ahead and start with a My Sims Party experience.
Yes, absolutely. I just want to say, I was really excited to see this one. We have done a lot of podcast reads on... we've done a lot of story reads on here where it... Don't look at me like that. It's just so loud. I heard every crinkle and then just like a waterfall.
Got a lot of visual humor on a podcast.
Okay, look, folks, it has been a while since the last time we recorded, and we are rusty. Oh. We're out of practice. Apparently, we all have chest colds.
And we're all sleep deprived.
We're going to bring you the best episode 9 you've ever heard here on The Spoops.
But episode 9. I don't think we made it to 9 on the first run through.
Yes, we did. 9 was our last one.
Oh, okay. So next episode will be a first for us.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, we're going to give you the best episode 9 you've ever heard, but have patience with us. We're all under the weather. Though here we are inside of the paranormal month, and we've got paranormal power on our side this time. We're in October. This is our strong month. I feel the energy surging through me. I'm going to give this reading the... a My Sims Party experience. I was surfing the net searching for a Skyrim Xbox 360 disc on eBay when suddenly this caught my eye. My Sims Party NDS Game Limited Edition. I clicked on the link and observed the product image. It was a DS game card with no label. It only said, My Sims Party, written in red Sharpie. I ignored it and clicked buy. 7 days later, it arrived. I popped it into my Nintendo DS. The game started as usual, but the title screen music was kind of distorted. Tim and MC Emmy's eyes were kind of reddish? I ignored this as a glitch and selected Dream Festival Mode. I kind of forgot what it's named. I started by selecting The Sims' gender. I chose male and began to customize my character. I went on to hairstyle option and there was gray curly hair. Is this a glitch or something? Then I went to the outfits option and there was black dinner suit. Meh. Whatever. I selected it. And then I went on to skin tone option and I chose the lightest and clicked done. Now, I needed to name my sim and I named him John. You really understand this if you're a Whovian or some fan of 70s British actors. Then I allocated my sim's power, speed, and technique. You don't have to know about it. Then I started the game. I started the game as usual and needed to name my town. I named it 12th Town. Then I started the first default festival, opening festival. The weird thing is that the opponent's team's name was random gibberish. I started the first minigame. At the end of it, player 3 won. And then it was the second minigame. And the weird thing is that the fish's eyes were blood red. Stupid P player 3 won again. That CPU is a dumb B. Note, I was in second place. And it started in the third and final minigame, the soccer juggling minigame. I won it, and I beat dumb player 3. The result was kind of strange. I was in first place, and then I redirected the place where we can talk to MC Emmy and start the festival. Just as I was about to walk out, a sim that looked like player 3 entered the room, and he talked to me, and he said,
"I will seek revenge on you."
The strange bit is, his face was kind of angry, then it went sad, and he left after that. I was also left with that. I also left after that weird happened, and after I talked to the citizens, and all they said was,
I hate that weirdo at dollar sign percent carrot and asterisk, open parenthesis, close parenthesis, period. He is pure evil.
And
I hate him. He tortured me once. I swear I will pay him for that incident.
Then I went to Mayor Rosalind's place. I talked to her and she gave me one mission.
Bring at pound dollar sign percent carrot and asterisk, open parentheses, closed parentheses, to the mayor.
I went to the building and found at pound dollar sign percentage carrot and asterisk, open parentheses, close parentheses, apostrophe S's house. And I talked to him to go to the mayor's house, and that darn sim walked out. And I went to the mayor's place, and whoa, look what I found. That darn sim had decapitated Mayor Rosalind and at pound dollar sign percentage carrot and asterisk open parentheses close parentheses had an evil look on his face. Also, his eyes were blood red, just like the character in the title screen. Suddenly, all the citizens start coming into Mayor Rosalind's house. Then they all chanted,
kill that demon! Kill that demon! Kill that demon!
They all chanted that, and then they also started chanting in Simlish. I think that's Animal Crossing. The citizens started decapitating at pound dollar sign percentage carrot and asterisk open parentheses close parentheses and stabbing him, turning him into a big pile of ash. Suddenly the weird crap happened at pound dollar percentage asterisk and open parentheses close parentheses grew really big and turned demonic. And then a conversation started.
What are we gonna do, John?
I have an idea.
I never knew the players could talk to other characters.
How do we do that?
Everyone, grab some swords, guns, and knives.
The citizens started grabbing weapons and started stabbing at pound, dollar sign, percentage, carrot, and asterisk, open parentheses, close parentheses. And then that Sim shouted,
I shall come back.
A red-colored puff of smoke appeared, and then it disappeared. A demonic, distorted voice blared from the speakers,
I will pay you for this, reckless mortal.
And then all the citizens cheered,
Our city is now peaceful again. Thanks to you, kind-hearted gamer.
And then the screen went black and it said, Would you like to save the game? Of course, I selected yes. And then another option said,
The game will now shut off and the DS game card will eject. Are you sure to quit the game?
I selected yes. It shutted it off and the DS game card was ejected. Before that, a voice that sounded like, or is John Pertwee said,
And that was how you saved the day. Thank you, Kelly.
I stored the cartridge in a safe place and continued to play Bioshock 2 on my Xbox 360. Note, the DS game card turned into a normal My Sims DS game card.
Okay, so
I don't actually track what happened.
I might be confused because I've never played the game.
Nope. That could be normal. That might be how the normal My Sims party experience is.
Have you played the game?
No.
Okay.
This is where we could really benefit from an expert caller, like, for instance, your wife.
Or his wife. Or your wife.
Yeah. I don't think any of them played My Sims Party on the DS.
I don't
That's
know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, your wife has every My Sims 4 pack, but I don't think that translates to My Sims Party experience.
Yeah. So,
not that I think it's particularly important. No. I think the important thing here is that this is a feel-good horror story.
Yeah.
Right? This is something where the horror happens in the background, but is the person at any point in actual danger?
No.
No.
I mean, all that happened was he killed a couple zeros and ones, and apparently they came back to life because it turned into a normal Sim games afterwards.
Well, he killed the demon in the code.
No. I'm talking about the demon in the code killed, like, the mayor.
Right.
Which, can I just say, Mayor Roslin had quite a deep voice.
Well, no, I don't think Mayor Roslin was going to say, bring him to the mayor's house, right?
Fair.
That
I
was
guess.
The game saying the objective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's my reasoning.
I definitely didn't just lose the thread completely.
No. I put it in your reading notes that it was the game host.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're safe.
See, I didn't lose the thread, actually.
Yeah. No. See, some of the things that I love about this one, first off, low consequence story.
Yeah.
The Kelly is at no point actually in danger, right?
It is concerning how they have her info, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't they just, like, skim that stuff off of a DS because people put anything into their DS info?
I guess, you could say that, they could have pulled it off her chat ID or something.
Yeah. Some other things that I love inside of here, that the game is kind enough to tell them when they should eject the DS card. And he doesn't keep messing inside of the perfect world by continuing to play the same game.
Mm-hmm.
He takes it out and he's respectful to the AI that lives inside of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of shared compliance going on here.
I am slightly worried that the whole story is secretly, like, a game racist and that the demon wasn't actually bad. He was just, like, somebody that the whole community hated. And you assisted in his, like, brutal murder.
May I point out,
you're saying this is, like, the Simish version of, like, Boo Radley? Like,
Yeah, this is the Simish version of Boo Radley, who decapitated the mayor, but maybe she was a bad mayor.
I point out, though, to kind of like support this,
yeah,
skin tone option, I chose the lightest.
Yeah, Bradley and I made hard eye contact when that came up.
I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Any reason why?
And does this person make compilation videos of people ringing doorbells footage?
Oh, my God.
So, honestly, two out of five for me in terms of, like, spook factor. Mm. Like, it would have been... Especially if this was some game that they'd already played and knew this wasn't supposed to happen like this. If anything, like, I think it was more rage-inducing when they were trying to win. And, like, player three kept not letting them win, which I thought there was only two players, but I could be wrong. That's where my knowledge of the game doesn't... Because, like, you know, they say something along...
It sounds like a Mario Party ripoff, and Mario Party has four players.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I was starting to think, too. But when they said the opponent's team's names are all random... Opponent. Okay, yep, never mind. We can strike that. Yeah, no. Cool.
Yeah. No. All in all, I think good.
Yeah.
I rated it... A two seems fair. I agree with the two. Steven, what do you think?
Yeah, I can live with two. It's funny because at first I was going to say one, and then I realized that part of that was just because my cognitive reasoning kind of fell off a cliff, and that's not the writer's fault. That's me. And then I was going to give it a three because I thought about what it would be like to actually... be the recipient of a scuffed copy of a game like this and not see it coming. And then it came back down to a two for me because what kind of crazy person's going on eBay and picking the DS cartridge that specifically just read Sharpie on the front of it?
When that's not even what they were looking for to begin with.
Yeah.
So, like, you signed up for weird. Like, yeah. The fact that you got a scuffed version of this game is actually, like, probably the best case.
Yeah. You're lucky it didn't have, like, the DS virus on it that, like, I don't know, melted your DS motherboard.
Yeah. So, today we are talking about probably one of the funniest cryptids I've ever seen / heard of.
You gave me a promo, and I'm thirsty for it.
It's called Not Deer.
Okay. All right.
Spell it for me?
N-O-T space D-E-E-R.
Okay, no, wait. Can I see that again? Because it looks like the deer just swallowed a basketball and it got stuck in the throat and it looks really uncomfortable.
Oh, okay. So the sad thing is there's like 100% an actual reason why this happens, and it's kind of a sad thing.
Uh-oh.
But it's funny while, you know... While we can talk about it, and it actually kind of occurs around here where we're filming this, mainly in the Appalachian area, but it stretches out all of PA and like all the way down where white-tailed deer are common. So the not deer is described as looking like a deer from a distance, but as one looks at it longer or gets closer, something about it is off.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's that neck that looks like someone... put a balloon in and then started inflating.
Their movements are described as being like a newborn deer, but appearing as an adult.
Oh, no.
Some accounts suggest that the creature is double-jointed or has additional joints in its limbs. The limbs are described as longer than those of a deer, and the chest is very barrel-like. The way it moves is said to be aggressive compared to that of a deer. The most defining feature, however, is that not deers do not have eyes on the side of their heads, but rather the front, like a predator. The distinction is usually the first thing noticed as off. A few accounts involve multiple eyes, though most do not. Other uncommon outliers to the typical account involve describing the head as bovine. Okay. Not deers are said to be afraid of humans. Those who encounter them state that they have an uneasy feeling, that there is an intelligence and emotion about them that furthers the feelings that something is off. The not deer will generally approach humans And it's because of this that the odd movements are noted. Despite encounters feeling off, the creature has only been reported to attack if provoked, such as when an encounter tries to scare them off. Some accounts of such involve being chased up a tree by the not deer. The not deer may walk on its hind legs for a bit, as some animals may do, in order to intimidate or in attempts to reach individuals that are chased up trees.
Yikes.
So, if I were to just leave it at that, like, terrifying. Absolutely, absolutely terrifying.
The picture of a deer just hopping up on hind legs and taking a walk is...
Now...
just flopping its front legs.
So... We can take two paths here. We can talk about skinwalkers, or we can talk about the reality of this.
Chronic wasting disease?
Exactly.
Oh, that's sad. That is sad.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of the things that it kind of goes into and talks about, is they're like, you know, no, these are very real things. Like, these not deer are deer that suffer from CWD, which, for those of you who don't know, is like mad cow disease, but in... deer, and it can be quite rampant in the Appalachian Mountain, which causes birth defects in terms of double jointedness and stuff, just general stupidity in terms of walking up. And yeah, they basically, their brain kind of melts. And so they, they don't move right. They don't think right. They can look a little weird.
Chronic wasting disease can't take the eyes from the side of the head to the front of the head.
No, that would be a birth defect. Yeah. So
is that a birth defect or is that evolution and progress? Let's talk about this. Is this the side effects or are deer just becoming predatorial?
I mean, maybe they'll start feasting on each other and really bring down the numbers, because ever since we got rid of their only natural predator, wolves,
if my life up until this point is any indication, they are ambush predators and they seem to be only interested in my car.
Yeah, no, absolutely, I 100% agree. Deer have taken out like a lot of my cars, and sometimes they don't even have to be alive for them to take out a car. Deer already just terrifying, and then you're going to say it's a deer with front-facing eyes? You don't know if the deer's just going to look at you peaceful one second, next second, just go ahead and take a bite out of you?
Well, no, it's just, like, I just imagine, like, you know, you look and you're like, yeah, that's an eye, and they turn and face you, and the eye just kind of, like, moves to the front, just,
or the one that said they had multiple eyes, so you just kind of look at it and its eyes like lining the whole long skull.
They have like two on the tips of like the middle antler. Oh, like, just like the eye of Sauron.
And none of them blink synchronously. They're like one eye at a time.
So that is what I present to you today. I present to you the not deer.
You're not going to give me a way to kill the thing? You're just going to tell me about this threat and not tell?
It's just out there.
Yeah, I was going to say. So nobody
is... now I'm just going to have to go sit in my car the whole time and then hope that my car's sacrifice will buy us more time from predatorial deer.
So let me put you at ease and also make you not at ease. There's been no confirmed killings of not deer.
Yeah, because the people are dead and can't report it.
But I would state that I'm assuming... a typical, you know, what you'd use to hunt your deer could be used to bring down a not deer.
Unless it's an eldritch beast. We don't have enough information to know. You could try to shoot it. And then, you could try to shoot it with a bow and then just like a tentacle emerges from the ripped spine of it and then pulls it out.
Yeah, that's possible. And if that happens, man, I'm sorry.
I'd like to point out that if someone were to try and go to bag one of these in the field and the game commission showed up, they're like, what you hunting for today? Not deer is not going to be a good answer. that's like a fast track to jail.
What are you hunting for today? Well, sir, I'm hunting something that has front-facing eyes, is double-jointed. I'm hunting freaks. That's what I'm after out here in the woods.
You're a freak.
My name is Dick Cheney, and I'm hunting
Well, Steven, Why don't you give us your score rating on this?
Yeah, the hind legs thing. Okay, if we're just talking about...
Have you not seen a deer do this in real life?
No.
Oh, it is terrifying to see.
Oh, they will do it.
Oh, they'll do it.
Multiple steps?
Yeah, not
I'm
like...
I'm picturing just like a whoa, Nelly, not like
no,
a...
No. Like about 10... Like I've seen about 10. It's terrifying, especially when it's coming at you.
Yeah, because they kick with their front feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's just like...
Yeah, they literally, they go up and they're like...
Like little kangaroos.
Yeah, yeah, no, that...
No, the, like the opposite of little kangaroos, sorry. Like giant freakish kangaroos with...
Yeah.
That can literally impale you with their
ivory
hooves.
Ivory fisted hooves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so what do you rate this?
From a 3 to a 4. Okay. I'm just more scared of real deer now.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to say if it's chronic wasting disease, it's a 5 for me, full on scary, because my dad, who is an avid hunter, trained me from a young age that's the beginning of the end times if the deer around here get chronic wasting disease, because then he won't be able to eat their meat anymore. So that would be a very sad day.
We don't know if it's transferable to humans like mad cow is yet. We haven't been able to prove that it can go to humans yet.
Yeah, but do you want to be the first one?
Not really, no.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. Also, if it's just a thing that looks like deer but is predatorial, there's nothing more freakish to me than things that are supposed to be herbivores that eat people. Like, if you talk to me about, like, a cow that has, like, a ripping maw of teeth that
canines,
can...
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's... Or horses that could run you down and then just, like, rip you to shreds like a dog. Dude. Yeah, no. It's a 5 either way. It's a 5 for me.
Well, I was going to say 2,
you sold it too well,
like,
Bradley.
Like I presented this as like a ha-ha funny, not like a giving you nightmares.
This is kind of... This is just like a real come-to-Jesus moment for me where I'm like, man, like, I don't know why, but in the back of my head, I was like, push comes to shove, life and death, I think I could fight a deer and win.
No, absolutely not.
No, this is just me really reassessing my stats.
The only reason that humans stand at the top of the food chain is because we got tools.
Yeah,
you put us naked and bare-fisted inside of a room, we dead.
Well, I mean, if we're in a room, we should be fine. If we're out in nature, we're kind of dead. Like, if I was bare naked here, I'm pretty sure, like, until somebody else came in and shot me, I'm pretty sure I'd be fine.
Oh, you say that now, and then one of those deer are going to open up the door because they can stand on their hind legs, operate the latch, and just come walking in here.
Yeah. That's actually episode 10 special. We're throwing the stories out the window. We're actually just going to do Bradley fights a deer bare naked on set to the death. Oh.
You can make every one of those.
And episode 11, we'll eat the jerky if whoever survived.
Nope. Never eating venison again. I'm free now. I ain't going back.
Oddly, I'm more comfortable eating Bradley jerky.
I was going to say, can we talk about how he's like, no, never eating venison again. Not, no, not going to eat human jerky.
Okay. I've learned my lesson from the whale ship Essex, okay? The people on the whale ship Essex got stranded and didn't have any food to eat, so they ate people. And you know what the people who survived were like for the rest of their lives? They sat up in, like, the attic, and they did not talk to people. They had such deep mental scarring from eating another person that they were not suitable for the rest of their lives. My lesson is that starving to death is preferable to cannibalism. And therefore, no, I'm not going to eat Bradley jerky.
Oh, you're saying it goes without saying.
It goes without saying.
See, but it doesn't.
Not in the world of internet.
No.
So, Steven, what do we got in our spooky, scary mugs today?
Yeah, go ahead and grab a sniff. I'm not going to say anything in advance on this one.
Is that grape?
Man, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Wash it down with some grape.
Yeah.
It...
Oh, I'm sorry. Bradley gave me a cough drop because he didn't want to listen to me hack up a half a lung.
Moot point.
I feel like it's bougie communion.
It's bougie communion? Sip, sip.
You done messed up, didn't you? You done messed up. You wanted to get us something nasty, and instead you got something good. How do you feel? Oh, this is a victory.
This tastes like melted fruit snacks.
I just don't like grape stuff. People didn't like grape drink.
Oh, I've had Steven questioning this whole bit ever since he came in and found me drinking the energy drink cola. He was like, oh man, I can't believe somebody would drink that willingly. And it's like, yeah, you don't know where I go when I'm desperate. This is good. I don't know what you're talking about.
So wait, is this an energy drink?
Yes, actually. Go ahead, sip again. I want to see if you can figure out the origin point.
I taste cough drop. It tastes like a grape drink with cough drop.
I honestly don't know.
Really?
What I'm trying to suss out here, what information haven't we had yet?
The origin point.
Yeah.
If you can guess, Welsh's. Who sells this?
This is Welsh's personal energy drink.
They don't make that? Or, correction, if they do, we have to try it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, this is Body Armor Energy.
Really?
What? Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they have an energy line. I found this out on a panic grab at the gas station earlier today.
Okay.
There was no plan. And I just don't like grape drink.
I'm so happy we're here in the under 10 section. This is our last time of safe drinks. God yeah. bless us.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the viewers at home, we're shooting episodes 9 and 10 at the same time today. So they get to enjoy all of the fun drinks, all of the lovely goodness. And then starting with E11, things go...
Yeah, we've got the deer outside. It's in its corral. Bradley's ready to go ahead and oil up and get out there.
Oil up. you're worried about the deer grabbing on you with big opposable hooves.
I want Bradley to have a fighting chance. So we got Bradley a tub of cocoa butter.
I'm able to stand up because I'm too oiled. Like, I keep trying to stand and falling.
In the red corner, we have
boom.
Bigot oily.
We just got him a tub of cocoa butter.
Oh.
That's all.
I feel so bad for anybody who actually listens to this podcast. Sometimes we say things that I'm like, oh man, there's somebody out there in this world like, oh my gosh, imagine a college professor of mine stumbles on this someday.
Oh, Ron's listened. Because I was like, I'm doing a podcast now one time. Where he's like, shoot me a link. And I was like, you're not going to like it, but here it is.
I love how you warned him and he checked it out anyway.
He's a very refined person.
Oh no, for sure. Ron... But he'd be polite about his feedback.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
He actually said that it's structured very well. He just wasn't, you know, a fan of the humor. It wasn't in his lane.
I see.
So, well, he can join my wife and Rosie in that category.
Ugh.
Whatever. We're mavericks of humor.
Exactly. So.
You have to understand.
Let's get into Agrigan's Mountain.
I'm so glad you pronounced that. Agrigan.
Agrigan's fire red and leaf green Pokedex entry says, it claims a large mountain as its sole territory. It mercilessly thrashes those that violate its space. Is this a song?
Helen.
Is this a song?
I don't know. You can phrase it like a song if you want to. I thought it was just slam poetry.
It could be slam. All who enter his mountain lair, from their body, their skin will tear.
with his claws as strong as iron, every grown man will be a crying. You will not leave this place without knowing what's beneath your face. You will drown in your blood while he stomps you in the mud. There's no way out of here. Your final wish will soon be clear. To die real fast and take away your fear. The sounds are louder. He is almost near. You cannot run and you cannot hide. All who have come have surely died. If you come across his mountain path, there is no escape from Agrigon's wrath.
Oh, my fingers hurt so much. I can't snap that long. Oh. Wow, Bradley. I wasn't expecting to put so much sassy, like...
Just some
Yeah. I wasn't expecting so much, like, sassy... sass.
Yeah. So much stanky.
Yeah, you put... You put so much...
Well, you said slam poetry, you know.
Yeah.
Figured I had to be angry.
I think we were picturing like
Bradley's just prepping
poetry.
Bradley's just prepping for his slam poetry match against the deer. When I entered the ring like a slimy boy, the deer can't touch me because his joy glances off my pristine body. What fist can strike the oiled man? Nothing but
a frying pan.
A cloven hand.
I like it. So, just had to make sure I knew which one was Agrigon.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. There's something so magical to me about this being written, okay? And the magic here is that somebody read that Pokedex entry from Fire Red and Leaf Green, right?
Which came out when I was like in elementary school.
Right. So somebody read that and they're like, whoa, that's intense. But nobody thinks about the implications of what happens if this was a real animal. How do I convey a story that conveys just how terrifying that would be? Poetry.
I want Dorkly to animate this. Like they do the literal Pokedex stuff.
Yes.
Like I want an animation of Agrigon like in a cave chanting this, psyching himself up.
All who enter in his lair, from their body their skin will tear. I thought you were going ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Okay, so Mission Impossible vibe next. All who enter in his mountain lair, from their body their skin will tear. Okay, I'm so sorry,
but no,
I'm not musically gifted.
Honestly, I love this. Like, I 100% love this. And this isn't the first time that I've read a Polka Dot. Goodness. This isn't the first time that I've read a Pokedex entry and been like, that is terrifying.
That's concerning.
Like, so honestly, 4. Like, immediate 4.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know that we get a little bit into the weeds with, like, you know, I like some of what he says and stuff. But, I mean, honestly, just the source material of, like, yeah, mercilessly thrashes those that violate its space.
Yeah.
Mercilessly. And not
put some laundry out there, boy.
And it's not even like, you know, like mercilessly attacks. No, it's thrashes.
I picture like
I feel like I have
grab someone by the ankles and you just back and forth.
I feel like I have a better chance of surviving a thrashing than an attack, so I'm feeling kind of cocky. Like, a merciless thrashing, I'm going to, like, leave with, like, a couple of broken ribs and, like, a leg, but mercilessly attacking, I'm losing limbs. Anybody else share that vibe with me? Like, I feel like a thrashing is more survivable.
You're dead either way, kind of. I feel like the bar for
Agrigan,
survival's
what
low.
Do you think?
To die real fast and to take away your fear. That's what makes me see clear. Thanks, Agrigan.
Yeah.
I definitely agree this is Agrigan's like psych up music.
Though. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Like so Ash hype. Ketchum or Red is coming into his cave and he's like, boy, he doesn't have his Master Ball anymore. He used that on Mewtwo. I got a fighting chance to get out of this.
Like a floor-length mirror.
And then, like, the Poke battle starts, and he just, like, Ash throws out, like, an Eevee, and he's like, okay, I got this. Little does he know that he's been saving that Eevee for, like, all game because he thinks it's cute. So he's like, okay, I got this. It's just a little... just a little Pokemon, and then like level 120 Eevee comes up and tackles him and like takes out a third of his health, and he's like, oh, come on, it's a dog. I don't get it. And then you just look at the Eevee and it's just
steam shatter. It's just, super effective.
You and just then, look at this small little Eevee and it's just like its veins are like near bursting.
Well, no, no,
it's
no.
Like muscles like, are just like
roided out.
Yeah. No, so yeah, he attacks Eevee back though, and you know the trainer, feeling bad for the Pokemon they've cared for so long, brings it back in, and he's like, oh yeah, let's go. And
this.
Then they throw out God.
Yeah. Oh. Or just they're all just the starter Pokemon, but he refuses to evolve them, so he's just getting his butt whipped by small, like 2-inch long animals.
Literally whipped by
Rattata.
Well no. What is the grass starter in that game? Because it
Turtwig?
Was no, it was Squirtle, Charmander, and Vina.
Are you forgetting about Bulbasaur?
I was thinking Venusaur, which is his evolution. I just couldn't remember what. But yeah, literally getting whipped by Bulbasaur.
No,
that's pretty funny.
Now, doesn't Rattata also just have like an unfair attack that literally, no matter what level it is, will take out half the enemy's health?
Yes. I can't remember what it is, but so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Guillotine Bite or something like that. Yeah, yeah. Hyper Fang!
Yeah.
Yeah, that just takes out... So that doesn't even have to be a level 99 Rattata. That's just...
Yeah, he just caught that on the cave-in.
Yeah. And he's like, go!
I don't care about you.
I brought two of them. One for each bite.
Now, can we just talk about how unfair that would be? Like, there is no Pokemon in the world that doesn't super fear a Rattata. Like, we fear Yellow Jackets because they sting, and that doesn't take out one hit point out of us, right?
Yep.
But, like, imagine if there was an animal in this world that would literally half kill you. And it was super common and small.
They do exist. What's the, what's the little rat creature, the little ferret creature that, are they voles? Is it voles that I'm thinking of? They, like, turn you inside out. You know,
what?
Yeah.
What?
Okay, hang on.
No.
There's this ferret creature that I'm pulling up Google for this.
Voles are blind mice.
What am I thinking of, though?
I have no idea, but I am
turns
terrified.
You inside out? Why aren't we talking about that?
It's
because it's the spoops. It's the spoops. We're not in for the real horror stuff.
It's a ferret that's... Oh, no. What is the name?
Are you talking about a stoat?
Stoat?
Stoat.
Stoat.
They're like small little like ferret things that chase down rabbits.
Yeah.
I didn't know they could turn.
Turn their prey like inside out.
Brings a whole new meaning to that weasel pant sport that they have over in England.
Ferret legging.
Yeah, ferret legging.
Yeah. Now, there's something that's horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sports that shouldn't be sports at all and should actually probably be
just be illegal.
Crime.
Yeah. 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 Mm. Do I get to tell you guys about George Washington now?
Yes. Yes, yeah. You do.
Okay. So, folks, welcome to Joshua's Conspiracy Theory, where I have drunk comparable of 3 energy drinks so far. And we already know that I tend to get a little unhinged during these segments, so just bear with me, Okay? I need you to know that in my normal 9-to-5 job, I'm not an eye-twitching maniac who talks about how Martin Luther King Jr. was actually assassinated by the CIA, confirmed by the government, because Martin Luther King Jr.'s family filed a civil lawsuit against the CIA and the CIA lost. I'm not like that in my everyday life. So, we're going to talk about the Illuminati! Okay, so, tell me, Bradley, what do you know about the Illuminati?
Well, they, of course, print the money because their logo's on the money. You know, they're part of the Freemasons or whatever, and they've been controlling the world since the very beginning.
So,
yeah.
I also got an invite last week.
Wow.
Moving on up.
Okay.
Those union positions, man.
So first off, I had a lot of misconceptions about the Illuminati before we did that. This is just Ernest Josh. Hi, everyone. This is Ernest Josh. Ernest Josh.
Call me Ernest. Had,
welcome to my farm. Let me tell you, I had a lot of misconceptions about them Illuminati folks. They're not as bad as I thought. All this time here, I was thinking that they were masterminds controlling the whole wide world. But did you know that they got started with a little guy named Adam? Adam, last name I can't pronounce because it's German, but it's like...
Oh, I was like, husband of Eve?
No.
Man, this is old.
So,
old Minotti.
German Adam, as I will now refer to him, was... he was a college professor. And he taught canon law, right? And canon law, of course, is the law that the Catholics have, right? Little problem for Adam. Not religious, right? He's living inside of the time of the Enlightenment, right? And he likes these Enlightenment ideas, not so much the church ideas, but every other teacher at his school is... religious, right? So he gets a lot of flack from everybody, you know, the common flack that us religious folk give non-religious folks, like, you're going to go to hell. You know, so he got tired of that, right? So he's like, you know what? I'm going to prove to everybody I am religious. I'm going to go join the Freemasons, right? Popular in Germany at the time. It turns out, though, he doesn't join the Freemasons because, this is not a great look for Adam. They're too expensive is generally the thing, right? He wants to go join the Freemasons, but they want too much money up front. And he's like, that's dumb. Fine. I'm going to go off and I'm going to go start my own secret society. I don't need you. I don't need your stupid, expensive Freemason lodge. I'm going to go do my own thing and I'm going to make it better. So he goes off and he starts the Order of the Perfectionists. Okay.
They never finish anything.
Oh, no. No, it's the Order of the Perfectibles. I apologize. No, right.
They finish some things.
Yeah. Yes. They make things that they know could be better. They're perfectible. He gets together 5 people. They come up with code names. One of them, I kid you not, is Erasmus Nostradamus, right? Or something like that one. Yeah. He picks for himself a code name, Spartacus, which is the dumbest sounding... dumbest sounding code name of all time. Well, I'm just saying, if we started a secret society and then I looked you dead in the eye and I said, you will no longer refer to me as Josh while we are in meeting hours. You shall refer to me as Julius Caesar.
Stabs you 27 times. The Spartacus one is, okay, hear me out. Minor genius. Because under the alias, you know, like you get taken in, you know, for questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like they ask who you are and you go, I am Spartacus. And the guy next to you goes, and I am Spartacus. And they never figure out who it actually is.
Fair. Well, here's the thing, right? They changed their name eventually to the one that we all know, we all love, we all chant it on the street. Yeah, Illuminati, right? And the Illuminati's core principles are that they hate religion and they hate strong government. So they what they do is they try to take down the powers that be and knock them down a few pegs. So they hate strong overarching governments and they hate religions that reach too far into people's lives, right? So they team up and they're like a little task force against strong religion and strong government. Not something you want to be publicly on the book for when you're ruled by a strong government with strong religious backgrounds. It takes just a wee little bit of time before Germany decides that they should just make every secret society illegal. First off, Germany, I love your optimism that you're like, oh yes, this is a group of people who don't want anybody to know that they're meeting and are secret about their identity. That's illegal now. And then trusting that it's going to not be. They're already underground. They can't go into the shadows if they're hiding in it. What do you think that's going to do? Number two. I appreciate the Illuminati's position. They were active for 8 years, had 2,000 members, and then they were made illegal. That's a disappointing thing, right? Yep. 8 years into something just to have it sunk. Supposedly Adam, German Adam, gets exiled to Bolivia, and he's forced to retire, and that's the end of the Illuminati. For sure, they never became a thing ever again. Oh, what's this? In 1785, somebody arrests a French rebel, and they're like, okay, you need to tell me all about the Freemasonry connections, okay? Tell me, what are the Freemasons planning on doing? Because everybody's paranoid about the Freemasons at this point, right? Freemasons back then are how we view the Illuminati now, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, why are you so worried about the Freemasons? You should really be worried about the Illuminati. And they're like, why should we be worried about the Illuminati? And he's like, they have 20,000 lodges across Europe and America, which, by the way, you have to appreciate that hustle, okay? 20,000 lodges in, they got started in 1776, so 9 years.
Respect the grind.
That's some hiring. That's not so much a secret society at that point as much it is active recruitment of anybody who will listen, right? But 20,000 lodges, and they've got something big planned for France. Oh, what's that? Do I hear? What's that in the distance? Do you hear the people sing
let
the
them song? Eat cake!
Song of angry men. Yes, that's right. The French Revolution comes along and knocks all the people in power who are out of power, lining up with what the Illuminati believes in. No strong government!
It didn't knock them out of power. It beheaded them out of power.
Well, yeah. Well, I consider that a knock. Losing your head.
What a thunk.
And also, what did the French revolutionists do? They literally created a church to reason. Yeah. That's right. They set up a whole cathedral to reason while they were beheading everybody. That's right. Two things that the Illuminati loves. No strong religion and no strong government. Now,
I was going to say, tie this into George Washington for me.
1776. Is that a familiar year to you, Patriot boy?
Oh, absolutely.
What happened in 1776?
A lot of great stuff.
such as?
Man, freedom update just dropped.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Wait, what?
Independence patch.
Okay. Like, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right! America, world's greatest country, came into being. Kicked open the front doors of the world, knocked Britain right in the pants and said, guess what? We're in the room now. Welcome to the US of A.
And?
In the same year that the Illuminati got started? You kidding me? You don't see this connection already?
Paint it out for me, my bro.
Okay. All right. Let me see if I can find the letter. I hate that this is a real letter. I hate that. All right. I hate this. Okay. So George Washington wrote, received a letter on August 22nd of 1798 from a G.W. Snyder. And the contents of the letter was from one Freemason to another. Okay. And the warning was, beware the Illuminati. They're coming in and ganking all of our stuff. Also, they'll have their eyes fixed on America. They want America. And George Washington responds with, yes, I've heard of the Illuminati. Yes, I am aware. And I pledge that by land or by air or by sea. I don't know how by air.
blimp.
I pledge that... I pledge that by one lantern by land or two of by sea, that we will take care of the Illuminati problem. Now, this sounds like it's a problem for the Illuminati, right?
No.
Yeah, that's right. How do you take care of a problem that the president of the country that you're trying to rule doesn't believe in you and your organization? There's one simple, easy thing to do.
Replace him.
Replace him. And who are you going to replace him with? Yes, that's right. The president of the Illuminati, who was in hiding from Germany. You may ask me now, Josh, what is your evidence for this? And why do people believe this conspiracy theory?
I mean, we definitely have the weak government thing down, but...
intimidatingly long sip. Is this... Oh, man.
Lay it on me.
Thomas Jefferson said he's fan of the Illuminati. He has a recorded letter where he says that the Illuminati weren't such bad people after all.
Okay. And...
isn't that enough proof?
He was known to hate religion and didn't like, you know, the strong government in Britain. So, yeah, no, I'm going to say that.
Isn't that enough proof for you?
I'm going to say that that lines up with his views. He'd be like, yeah.
I love that you simply teed that up as they replaced George Washington with, and I'm like, I can't picture John Adams doing that. It's like, we're just going to skip a presidency here.
Okay. Yeah, no, everybody, all of the historical skulls.
I don't think it was like, I think they like killed him.
Yeah, no, they killed him and then German Adam came into his place.
Yeah, became new GW.
Yeah.
New Tom.
Yeah, now.
American Tom.
Now, the reason that I brought this forward today is that this is a real conspiracy This is a real conspiracy theory that people believe. And for evidence, they cite the dollar bill, which has the Eye of Providence on it, which is Freemasonry symbology, not freaking Illuminati symbology. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the Illuminati symbol is?
If it's not the eye, I don't.
It's an owl. Yeah, the Owl of Athena is their...
I guess that would make sense.
And if the Illuminati was really running the country, why did we choose a bald eagle as our national bird?
Okay? Which kills owls?
Yeah. Also, Freemasonry symbology. The country was founded by freaking Freemasons. And the Freemasons hated the Illuminati, right? They were actively at war with each other, essentially.
Well, they were probably... You know how they got so many lodges? They were probably just, you know, stealing Freemasonry. like everybody would come out of the, you know, the first meeting and be like, man, I'm going to have to sink my whole life savings into this. They'd be like, hey, help us take this building over. That's all you need to pay.
For cheaper. and also... yes, that's right. Our country that is one nation under God was definitely founded and definitely put together by the Freemasons. Now,
no, the Illuminati.
The Illuminati.
It was definitely put together.
It was definitely put together by the Freemasons. Now, the other thing is, like, another one of their proofs. Do you have a dollar bill?
Yeah, let me grab it again. Yeah.
Another one of their proofs here. And this one's hysterical to me. Now, when you look at the... okay, first off, they say that that is a portrait of German Adam, not of George Washington.
Okay.
Which I can show you a picture of German Adam. In a second.
Adam, is that you?
It is me. Germanium?
So here's a picture of German Adam.
Okay.
Please note that...
He looks a lot like John Adam.
He looks a lot like John Adam, but please note that he looks
like
almost
a scary
nothing.
Lot.
Yeah.
He looks almost nothing like George Washington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, nothing.
Yeah. Also, supposedly on the back, right, you can see a bald eagle holding how many arrows?
Oh, goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
13.
Oh.
Now, supposedly...
That's for the 13 colonies.
Supposedly, this was for the 13 families that were all ruled by the Illuminati, ignoring the most obvious one, that there were 13 colonies to the United States of America. So, yeah. I pledged to you that I was going to bring you dumb conspiracy theories that have almost zero evidence in, and this is maybe the dumbest one that I have found, that people somewhere actually believe that the Illuminati replaced George Washington with German Adam. I'm trying to imagine how that address to the nation would have gone after that. Yes, hello, welcome, my beautiful American citizens. It is so nice to see all of you. We have done great job making our country great against the British, and we're very, very good with the apple pie. And yes, USA. Yeah.
Hell! You won't get that. It'll come years down. It's in the pipeline.
Yeah. So it's also somewhat ironic that an organization that doesn't believe in strong government would want to become the president of
a
government.
I get that because how to keep a government weak? Weak leader.
Okay.
Calling your leader weak?
Well, Adam, if he was deliberately flubbing the job. Now, here's the thing, though. Yes, this is right in that little beautiful period where they tried to keep the federal government weak and tried to keep the state government strong, right? Mm-hmm. Ooh, this cute little fluttering that's going to disappear thanks to Alexander Hamilton and the centralization of the bank. And then, ooh, we get to the Civil War and bam! Flatten the state power. If the Illuminati is in charge, they are a completely different organization than what they started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I'm not saying that there isn't a one world government, but I don't think it goes by the name Illuminati.
Definitely goes by the name Steve.
It goes by the name Illumahati. Am I right? Okay. That's been Dumb Conspiracy Corner with Josh.
Hit us up with that question.
Absolutely.
Abs.
I'm also just going to say this, and I've gone on the record and said this multiple times before, and I won't stop saying it. I am...
A man.
I am a man. But I'm not... afraid of any supposed one world shadow government that exists, because their whole thing is, you know, assuming
he's
that
a plant. He's a plant.
Hear me out though on this. Hear me out. If they're already in power, and they have been forever, it seems like their big thing is civil liberties and retaining the status quo.
Same with the lizard people. Like, if we're being controlled by the lizards,
they're doing a fine job.
Yeah, I've eat.
Got health care.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it leaves a lot to be desired, but you know,
it does. But it's there. You know, All right, so that gave me enough time. I pulled this from one of the most frightening cesspools of my favorite. This comes from Ask Reddit.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But here's the thing. I'm real curious about this, and I'll give you time on this. User Gnarlsparkly 2015 asks, what cryptid do you believe actually exists, and what proof do you have to substantiate your claim?
Not deer. Chronic wasting disease.
Yeah, they actually just exist. I'm not going to lie. As soon as we started in on that, and I realized, I'm like, well, that's going to be pretty
okay.
easy throwaway.
No, let me actually come up with, like, a, you know, yeah. not a throwaway cryptid.
Yeah. And I hope you know, now that we have okay. our lovely little painting in the middle that I can superimpose images on, there's just going to be a shot of me there just staring between the two of you for as long as it takes you to think. Pointing, making faces, doing weird stuff.
Just like a floating head in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Okay. Delightful. See, I think if I had to go with the cryptid that I think has the strongest chance of not being a cryptid and being, like, real, I'm going to go with Alien Gray. Or I'm going to go with... Tall Alien Whites. Those are my fair. Two. I feel pretty strong. Like,
I'm
going to
go
a
different approach.
Take a
shot I'm going to go popular sure ones, and I'm going to say...
Alien Greys, they just feel real.
Loch Ness Monster. Maybe not exactly in the lake where they say it is, but I mean, the sheer fact that we have explored, like, nearly none of our oceans, it would not shock me if there was a giant...
99% is the stat.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if there was a giant... swimming creature. Like, I mean, you look at, like, giant squids and stuff, like the sperm whale giant squid battles that just happen that we don't know about. We only know from the scars that are on sperm whales when they surface. Like, we have no idea what's going down.
Well, we only
in the ocean
very recently came to the realization that, like, kraken level squid actually
exist. Oh yeah, and that's,
you know,
terrifying.
Yeah, that's like, well, that's one that I can point to. The kraken exists, by the way.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, so we don't know what's in the ocean, and it would not shock me if there was a giant dinosaur-esque monster. Because, I mean, you look at sharks. Sharks are very, like, you know, prehistoric kind of. Because I think they were. Like, lots of theories are that they existed when dinosaurs, or some variation of them. So, like, it would not shock me if there were giant dinosaur-like swimming creatures that were able to survive going deep enough in the water.
Yeah. No, that's fair. My response is a little more vague in general. I believe that every cryptid who finds its origin story involved in some kind of exposure to radiation, it's like a coin flip. My reasoning for that is pretty simple. The study and field of nuclear mishaps on this planet has gotten so deep and so well controlled that it would be really easy to keep it under wraps. You know, I mean, like, do you guys know about, like, Broken Arrow and Bent Spear incidents and all this? So basically, and I'm going to get these backwards by accident, I believe Bent Spear incidents are jettisoned nuclear weapons cargo that are never recovered. And we have a lot of them. And again, I might have this backwards. And Broken Arrow incidents are accidental nuclear event horizon. like just accidental explosions, essentially. Oopsie. Like, reactor meltdowns, yeah. Just oops.
Okay, so like Chernobyl kind of stuff.
Yeah, so that's the one end of it. The other end being like... Planes that are going down anyway and pick an ocean to just plonk, you know, because it's kind of the best option they have, as, you know, as we learned with, you know, Tsar Bomba, because ocean. free fishing. My point being, there's enough of this stuff just floating around at this point that pretty much anything that finds its origin in involving radioactive material like that, I'm liable to believe there's a strong possibility.
Now, does radiation really cause a cryptid, or does it just kill things slowly?
It can cause severe mutations. Like, if you look at some
and
of the...
And we're used to that just being, like, cancer real bad. But it does some weird stuff.
Yeah, like, if you look at some of the animals and documented stuff around Chernobyl and stuff, like, not deer, but whole nother level.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the idea that something... could find its way into, like, the supernatural canon.
I was going to say, it's low enough exposure for long enough time, I think, is the thing. Because, like, even though there was a lot in Chernobyl, and, like, there was an area around that everything died, things outside of that area, because, like, of the elephant's foot that just kept pumping out radiation and was leaking far enough away that, you know, things were just outside of where, you know, could kill you range, but we're still absorbing through drinking, through food, through other things that just, altered DNA.
Dude. So, Broken Arrow. Sorry, I wanted to grab these really quick just because I find it fascinating. Let's see here. There we go. Broken Arrow. Nuclear. An accidental nuclear event involving nuclear weapons, warheads, or components which does not create the risk of nuclear war. And Bent Spear is... because I feel that this is worthwhile for people to know, because they happen a lot. Identifies a significant incident involving a nuclear weapon, warhead, or component, or a vehicle loaded with nuclear materials that could cause nuclear war. Excellent example of... of a Bent Spear incident that actually did not involve any launch or jettison of nuclear components. And I just think this is super cool. This is just stuff that happened. This is just history time for us. We almost blew ourselves to Kingdom Come as a planet collectively because someone accidentally loaded a testing tape into NORAD. NORAD is our nuclear missile, basically, like, early detection and early warning system.
Oh.
It's the thing that allows us to mutually destroy other, you know, the entire rest of the planet before it lands on our heads.
Delightful.
And it also does a great job of knocking other missiles and ordnance out of the sky. It's the most sophisticated gridiron system for knocking out missiles on the planet. But the detection system, you used to be able to launch these test tapes, basically, so that people that were being trained on how to use the early warning system could actually see what it would look like if this were to happen, because otherwise you're just a guy in a chair with no knowledge looking at a screen. And the story is that the guy at NORAD began making phone calls until they had the president awake, and they were within minutes of launching an all-out nuclear strike on the Soviet Union before finally someone just checked.
Wow! Okay.
Minutes from total nuclear annihilation. If you want, one of these episodes, I can talk a little bit about that just for the meme.
That would be fun.
Yeah. That's definitely both comedic and scary.
Yeah.
Not just scary.
You know, I'm actually real interested because I've seen an image that you send to the group chat.
Yeah, no, I tried to put it inside of the Word doc, but it wouldn't go in. So,
At least I have it. That's definitely going to be the episode image.
Yeah.
Let me hear this AI story.
Bing gave it to me without me asking.
Ooh.
Bing's. What? I've gotten worried that Bing is going to catch on to what we're doing and then stop it.
But now it's helping.
Bing seems to be encouraging it. So. Then again, I also did get, I got Facebook ads from AI women flirting with me. So I think I've done a good job making Bing like me.
Yeah.
It's how polite I am. Here's the AI story with its general politeness. I'll try to create a horror story based on your prompt. Once upon a time, in a small town, there was a group of Sims who recently... There was a group of Sims who were secretly a part of the Illuminati. They had been performing dark rituals in the woods for years, and no one knew about it. One day, they decided to summon a powerful monster to do their bidding. They needed a sacrifice to complete the ritual, and they chose a deer that had been wandering around in the woods. The Sims began the ritual, and as they chanted, the sky turned dark and the ground shook. Suddenly, a portal opened up, and out of there came a terrifying monster. It was like nothing anyone had ever seen before. The monster was huge, with razor-sharp teeth and glowing red eyes. It let out an ear-piercing roar that echoed through the woods. The Sims were terrified, but they knew that they had it under their control. They commanded it to do their bidding, but it didn't listen. Instead, it turned on them and began to attack. The Sims tried to run away, but the monster was too fast. It caught up with them one by one and devoured them all. The monster continued its rampage in through the town and encountered some Pokemon who were out foraging for food. The Pokemon tried to fight back, but they were no match for the monster's strength. One by one, they fell to its razor-sharp teeth. The townspeople were in a panic as they watched the monster destroy everything in their path. They knew that they had to stop it before it was too late. They gathered together and came up with a plan. They lured the monster into a trap using a trail of deer meat. When it got close enough, they hit it with tranquilizer darts until it fell asleep. Then they transported it to a secret government facility where they could study it and learn how to defeat it if it ever returned. Years went by, and the town slowly recovered from the devastation caused by the monster. But everyone knew that it was only a matter of time before something else came along to threaten their way of life.